episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay.
Yeah, are you sure?
Yeah. All right.
Just checking.
I had a busy day today, and
We've had a busy couple of days.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been out of town
mm-hmm.
Since last taping. We went to Buffalo for a wedding.
Yep.
We were there for a couple of days, and
friend of the show,
Joe Todaro.
Got married. Congrats to him
and his bride, Lauren.
Lovely wedding.
Lots of Italians.
Yeah.
Because Joe is an Italian man.
He is my people, yes.
He is your people.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was a nice area.
Yeah, it
Lockport,
was nice.
New York, at a winery.
Mm-hmm. It was really, really pretty. I do wish that the next time I go back east, just in general, whether New York, Boston, whatever, I want to go a couple weeks later because I really want to see the fall colors.
Yeah.
It wasn't there yet. It was starting.
It was on the precipice. It's one of the precipices of fall.
There's a couple trees that I saw that had a couple leaves that were changing, but it wasn't the colors I want. Because it's not the same out here.
Yeah.
Shit just gets yellow or brown and then it dies. There's no vibrant reds or,
we don't have a nice show. There's not a big showing of colors changing.
No, it's kind of just go see the aspens change because they all change at the same time because they're technically one organism.
Mm.
And you're like, wow, that's great, but they're all yellow. And as pretty as that is, it's not the same as it is back east. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. But I am very excited because we're getting into my favorite time of the year, spooky season.
Yes. Yes, it is upon us.
I'm so happy. Today is actually the first day of fall as we record this. The Wednesday, September 22nd. Also, Law & Order premiere eve.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a thing.
Yeah, no, there's stuff going on. You know,
so
we...
excited.
We went to Buffalo, though, to the area. You know, we hit up a few shops.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of, we had some free time. So, I mean.
Well, we stopped at one the morning after the wedding because we drove by it on the way to the wedding. And it was up in Lockport, which was Pulp 716 Comics or 716 Pulp Comics.
I think it's Pulp 716.
Pulp 716. Which is actually also, there's more than one location, but the one we went to was up by Lockport. And it is a comic book coffee shop, which we all know is my favorite combination of things.
Well, let me put it this way.
Also bubble tea.
They're big. I think they're more into bubble tea than they are coffee.
That's just
at least
not
I get
thing.
The impression. Yeah, and I'm not a bubble tea guy. And I think that this particular location is smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other ones I think the other one might have actual seats and stuff.
Oh, neat, yeah.
Because, or maybe places people could sit, because I didn't really see that at this place.
No, this one was a little bit smaller for that. It just kind of had a counter for, the coffee / bubble tea, and then it just had the comics.
Yeah.
It was nice, though. It was a nice little store. I actually spent money there. I bought a Marvel number one of Young Love that just came out.
Apparently that's new.
I'm trying to remember if it's Young Love or Young Romance or something, but it's basically a romance comic that was just released. I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately, so I can't give you the date, but released fairly recently, so I'm excited to see that. I bought the Maneaters trade, which I've heard good things about, so I'm excited to read that.
What's the deal with Maneaters? You go ahead and explain that, because I'm actually not familiar with that at all.
Let me pull it up so I can give you a good thing, but a lot of people have said good things about it, and it's just, let me look here, and it's Image.
It's, I guess, I figured it was an Image comic or something, but I'm not familiar with it. It sounds like there's that. And there's also Something's Killing the Children.
I didn't buy that, but I saw it. I thought about buying it.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, it is about a young girl who thinks she's a monster. So adolescent girls can be real monsters, which is true. Maud is 12, about the age some girls turn into flesh-eating wildcats. And her detective dad investigates a series of strange mauling attacks. Maud worries she may be the killer.
Oh.
And it's supposed to be excellent. Like, it's got a lot of great reviews. So I bought that. I'm looking forward to reading that. And then I also picked up a trade, which I didn't know existed, which was Batman in the 50s. So it's a lot of Batman comics from the 50s.
Yeah.
Which I'm really excited to
which is a great deal because, you know, that was, $30? Mm-hmm. Which is actually a much better deal. And I think there's more comics in it than there are, like, those, like, the DC, I always forget. They're not Masterworks, but they're, like, the collected editions.
Yeah.
You know, like, those ones where, like, you know, they're kind of expensive.
Yeah.
But, you know, this one seemed like a pretty good deal. And I didn't get a chance to, I didn't look at it. I didn't see what was.
I don't know what's in it yet. I have to actually look through it. But I'm excited to read it. $30 is usually a little bit high for me to spend on a trade, but.
That's actually not a bad price for it, though.
Well, that's kind of what I figured. Involved. I was like, there's a lot of stuff. You know, it looks like it's really cool. There looks like there's a lot of stuff in it. Plus, you know, supporting an indie shop.
Yeah.
Which is good. So I picked it up.
I've determined that a lot of times. And I feel that when I go into shops like this, I have to buy something.
I don't always have to buy something. If I like the store, I'll buy something.
Well, I mean, yeah.
There's been places where I walk in and the person behind the counter might be a huge dick or whatever, and I won't buy anything. Because that happened when we were in L.A.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes, you know, at least if I'm visiting, you know, somewhere, I don't know, I just kind of felt like I just felt comfortable buying something at the place, you know.
Seemed really cool. And
well, they bought
a lot of stuff. They were clean. Always my favorite.
There was clean. There was, you know, despite having coffee and boba tea flying around, you know. But and it seemed like it was, well, one thing I did want to point out is, like, it was kind of nice because it was, like, kind of, like, very entrenched in history, Buffalo history. Like, they had some, I think some of the blends were named, the coffee blends or something, were named after, like, years.
Yeah, they had something like that. And I kind of vaguely read it where it was like brewed the way it would have been brewed back in the year or whatever.
Right.
And it might have just, like, been something Buffalo specific, which obviously I wasn't going to catch, but
yeah. So we went there. I bought myself I saw the Batman the animated series Demon,
mm-hmm.
along with Clarion, the Witch Boy, comes in a 2-pack. And
he has a cat.
Probably not going to do much with Clarion, but I am excited for the Demon.
He's huge.
He's very huge and hulking. Yeah. But I've been wanting to pick that up for a while, and I also picked up a copy of Dark Hawk number 1.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Dark Hawk is back.
One. Yeah.
Dark Hawk is back. They're
he is not in Pog form.
Well, we know what's funny is on the cover. No, it's on the cover.
Does it say in Pog form?
I wish it would, actually. It's like
in Pog form.
It's like he's just back in Pog form and nothing else. We're just like, I guess I gotta buy a Pog.
And also, Pogs are apparently back now too.
Are they?
Remember they were back for like 6 months at one point, and then that was the end of Pogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is funny. Well, it's not funny. It's actually very sad. Mm. Because when I was a kid.
Oh, boy.
When I was a boy.
A young.
Yeah. A young. And I was reading comics. I remember getting issues of Dark Hawk. Or seeing the issues of Dark Hawk. Yeah, that came out. Dark Hawk came out in 91.
Mm-hmm.
And on the cover, it would be like, 30 years of Captain America or whatever, 30 years of Spider-Man.
And now,
on the cover of Dark Hawk number 1.
Yeah, I know.
It says, 30 years of Dark Hawk.
It makes you want to fling yourself into the sun, doesn't
it?
It
makes me want to cut my throat with Dark Hawk number 1.
Yeah, I literally just want to.
Makes me want to drink some boba tea and end it all.
I really just want to launch myself into the sun when I read stuff like that. I'm like, I just cannot get a running start fast enough to throw myself into the flaming Death Star that circles above us. Because why?
Holy shit, we've reached that. I can't believe we reached that point.
I can't. Why are we so old? There should be a rule. There should be a fucking law against getting this old.
There should be a rule, yeah, about getting this old, or also, acknowledging that it's been this long.
Yeah.
Like, there needs to be a pocket, a way that it's like you're not able to recognize that.
But. Anybody born after 1990 cannot tell me what year they were born.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a fucking law.
Yeah.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know that you were, born in 2006. Yeah. I just can't deal with it.
Yeah, that's there's something not right about it.
I'm gonna fucking start a petition, like a change.org, and make it so
you probably get a lot of signatures, to be honest.
And make it so that we cannot, like, you just don't age after a certain amount of time. And people,
numbers no longer apply,
and people no longer acknowledge years once you hit like 28.
Right.
And that's it. They just stop. And it's just like, oh, sucks to be you, I guess.
But Darkhawk number one is out, and it's not a reimagining. It's basically just a progression of the previous previous Darkhawk iteration or something to that effect, because the previous Darkhawk was Chris Powell, and he was the one that found the Darkhawk amulet, and he was Darkhawk or whatever. I don't know what happened to him. I know there's something did happen to him, but they did allude to in like the editorial section. They're like, hey, we're going to address that.
Oh,
we're going to address that. But for this time out, it's about this kid. I forget his name, but
Darkhawk Jr. Jr.
Darkhawk. Yeah. Darkhawk Jr. Jr.
Yes.
Darkhawk Jr. Jr. The fourth. he is a kid. He's a kid. Mm. I believe in New York or something.
Right, there's a problem, yeah.
Well, he's a teenager.
All right.
He's a ripped-ass teenager.
God damn it. Okay.
Who is really good at basketball and is, like, on the verge of, like, going to, like, Empire State University or whatever. And he ends up actually being struck down with multiple sclerosis.
Oh.
So, but then as he's, like, clearing his head, after the diagnosis or whatever, he's taking a walk and... He runs into this, this group of people busting up like a factory or something. And there's an explosion. Somehow there's an explosion, and then the amulet is near him, mm-hmm. and he grabs it and he turns it to Darkhawk.
Oh.
And now he's Darkhawk.
Did you read this already?
Yeah, I read it.
Oh.
Yeah, I read it, and I mean, so because it's something that was like, well, maybe we do it for the show, and I'm not really, maybe comfortable doing it for the show because there's not really a lot funny about it.
That's always the problem with some of these.
Yeah, it's actually, but it's, saying there, there's a premise behind it, that it's not just the same guy. I mean, they actually like updated it and made it more realistic in a sense that it's like, hey, there's, somehow this amulet is now in the hands of this new kid, and he's going to go ahead and become... Darkhawk, and he's gonna, fight crime and experience the world.
What do you think that would be like? Not being Darkhawk, but like being a high school athlete, just being amazing at something. What do you think that's like?
I don't know.
I have no frame of reference, obviously. I know.
There was that one time I threw a discus really well and a shot put really well.
And
it was kind of exciting.
Yeah.
But other than that, I didn't experience it getting good. Anything good high school sports.
Like, if you were really, really good at sports and you were, like, the high school quarterback or whatever, what the fuck is that like?
I don't know. I've never...
I
will say this.
Obviously have never experienced that.
I will say this. In my school, I feel like sports fame...
I really thought you were going to say sporks for some reason.
Sporks.
Like, ooh, sporks fame.
Sporks were outlawed at JFK Junior Senior High School. After the famous time when Turtle pulled a spork.
God.
Uh-huh. By Turtle, I mean Turtle from Entourage showed up.
Turtle from Entourage? Like
not the kid we call Turtle.
Oh.
The kid, the kid we call Turtle, he pulled. Who allegedly pulled a weapon in gym class.
I actually thought you were referring to, since I've never seen Entourage, referring to an episode of Entourage in which Turtle pulls a spork. And I was like, wow, what episode is that?
There's a lot of episodes of Entourage that I haven't seen. So
you know what? That could exist.
I
choose to believe that's what
chances are. He was like, hey, Vinny, here's a spork. He
stabbed him in the leg.
Ah, Vinny, why did you turn on me?
I'm supposed to be Aquaman.
Now I can't be Aquaman.
Nope.
I've disappointed Tony Bennett. You've never seen that episode. Obviously.
No.
It's just a scene. For some reason, Tony Bennett's in there. Tony Bennett's there, and he's talking to Vinny Chase. He's like, hey, you're Aquaman. He's like, yeah. And he's like, that's nice. And he just walks away. That was the extent of his role.
Paid Tony Bennett so much money to do
that. I hope he got paid well for that.
Oh, I hope he got so much money. That's why he's retiring now, you know.
Wait, he's not retired already?
No, apparently he wasn't, but apparently he's announced that he's officially retired. And I was like, aren't you like 98 or something?
Well, he just put out like an album. Like a couple years ago?
He did like a thing with Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga was like, had this, you know, like 70s hair.
Oh, no. You know what hair she had? She had the hair of all of my cousins from the 80s.
Oh, okay.
That like big puffy curl thing. Like a Cher thing. Like every single one of my cousins had that back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's really taking me back.
Yeah. No, I remember that. Yeah. But how do we get on Tony Bennett?
Oh, I don't know. You were talking about Entourage.
Yeah, but how do I get an Entourage? I was talking about Turtle. Oh, because
I was just talking about like what it would be like to be like a great high school athlete.
Right, right.
Could you even imagine?
Would
you get your dick sucked constantly? I'm going to guess yes. Anyway.
Listeners, here's the game. Go back. And like,
were you a great high school athlete?
Talking about tracing this thread we had Darkhawk to Tony Bennett.
I traced it. We got it.
I know.
I know where we are.
So
I'm not lost. Don't worry about it.
So Darkhawk, read that, and then we went to. And I keep forgetting the name of it. I want to say Cosmic Crush, but it's not. I don't think that was it.
Oh, that other place. I don't know what that was called.
It was called, I want to get it right, Cosmic Comics and Collectibles, which is, I guess, some sort of subsidiary of sorts
Nickel City?
No, Queen City. Because there was a Comic-Con at the same time, but the Buffalo Comic-Con was the same time.
Well, they kind of like...
Same day as his wedding.
Yeah, and they kind of like ran it. It was like in this little, you know, open place in a strip mall. And we totally would have gone to it, but we were going to a wedding. So, so we went the next day to the little coffee shop. Or not coffee shop. Comic book store. And it was nice. You know, they had a bunch of dollar boxes. And sets. They had sets. And
you don't see sets a lot.
Yeah, you really don't. Not anymore.
Yeah. And I feel like there's kind of... Because Queen City Bookstore has got a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that this store eventually will be like stocked.
Oh, you know, stuff from that store. They had only been there for like 2 months or something. Is what the guy said.
So I did pick up a few things.
An Eternals
comic, which is there's a new Eternals. So which we'll probably have to do for the show.
Yeah,
our show, because you know Eternals is coming up, and I guess we'll just talk about it. Because I was trying to find the older Eternals.
I was too. I couldn't find anything.
I mean, and I'm not really. I'm sure if I tried hard enough, I'd probably be able to come across it.
Yeah.
But I'm not really feeling that right now.
Well, that was kind of the thing. I'm like, I don't want to spend first off, I'm not going to look to see if there's an Eternals that costs $75.
Well, there is. I mean, yeah, the ones from the 70s.
I'm sure
stuff,
there
yeah.
are. I'm not paying it.
Or 80s.
But I was like, well, if I can find just a cheap shit one, you know, but I didn't see anything. And honestly, I don't know if I've ever seen an Eternals comic, but I've never really looked for one. So I cannot say if that is true or not.
I'm trying to think. There might be. I mean, there's definitely comics with Eternals in them.
Mm.
Like a few of his, there's some big storylines and stuff, with the Avengers and stuff.
Sure.
So I don't know. I'm just, I'm just thinking to myself, we should talk about it.
Yeah.
But,
And we will.
Speaking of Eternals, which is a movie.
Yeah.
We saw another movie.
Oh, we did see a movie. We saw a movie when we were in Buffalo.
We saw Malignant.
We saw Malignant. And I just want to say I fucking called what was happening about halfway through.
Yeah, I was.
I figured out what was happening.
I was of two minds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself, like, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it because I know, like, I had already seen, like, I hadn't seen a spoiler, but I'd seen, like, Malignant gets crazy in the third act is what I had seen. And I was like, okay, so something's got to happen in the third act that people are deeming crazy. And then I was like, well, this thing doesn't make any sense. And that thing doesn't make any sense. Oh, it probably means this. And then I was right about what it meant. So I wasn't as shocked by it as everybody else was, I think probably because I figured it out. But I didn't hate it. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I thought it was dumb. I appreciated some of the music choices. It felt very 80s.
Yeah, there was definitely an aesthetic to it.
Yeah,
I
did appreciate the aesthetic.
I enjoy it. Yeah, it felt very like much like there was an aesthetic to it that was kind of like an Argento movie.
Yeah, it really was.
Just some of the lighting and just some of the imagery. I dug it. And also, a lot of it takes place in a very nice house in Seattle.
Oh, that house was great. I love that house. I'm like, I would live there even if it was haunted.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Such a great house.
Yeah, there's some. It kind of makes Seattle seem like, which it already seems pretty cool, but like, you know,
way
it
cooler.
It just seems cooler.
Yeah.
Because I kind of want to live in a house there.
I've always wanted to live in a house like that.
Yeah.
Being back east just in general, you know, we were driving by to go to the wedding and there were some of these really nice houses, kind of pseudo colonial looking, because you don't really see, you know, you see more colonials like in New England, but with like these big front porches and like steps and
yeah.
And I'm just like, I would love a fucking house like that. I've always wanted a house like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, yeah. Definitely.
And like the one in Seattle in Malignant, I would like that house too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I thought it was cool. I could actually see myself watching that movie in a couple years and like, around Halloween at like a horror movie marathon and being kind of hyped for it.
I could see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being like, sweet, Malignant's on.
Yeah, I could see that. I think I got to plan it out because we talked about this. I tried to do this last year and I didn't really do it. I got close, but I want to do like a horror movie a day.
Oh yeah. We got to get there.
And, I kind of seeing Malignant was kind of like, man, give me a little bit hype for horror movies again.
Yeah. Oh, totally. You
know, which is something I watch on a regular.
Oh, same,
but I don't watch movies nearly enough.
No, we don't.
So, but yeah, so this, but it's pretty wild movie. You should, you know, if you like horror movies, check it out.
Yeah, it's also on HBO Max if you have that.
Yeah, so I would recommend it.
Yeah.
And I think that's about it. I mean, I went to my video game store nearby.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I like that place. Oh, we also went to the Eastern Hills Mall. Jen got to experience the Eastern Hills Mall as it is now. Which is now a trash mall.
Yeah, it just, again, it reminds me, and I even told Sean this, just there was a mall I used to go to when I was a kid. It was South Glen Mall out here in the suburbs of Denver. And it reminded me, like, the old part that they haven't redone. Now, South Glen's been ripped down and redone, so it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
I mean, like, they've redone it and made it all fancy and people go there now. But like, it had water features and had like the tile. It reminded me a lot of that, like built in the 80s mall. That was South Glen.
They still exist.
They still exist apparently in Buffalo.
They still exist.
But they're ripping that down too. They're like redoing it, like making it fancy.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's a lot. I mean, there's so much space over there.
There's a ton of space. Well, we went into that like Buffalo store.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, a specific, like, store that sells, like, Buffalo products. Not only was it the brightest store I've ever been in, because it had so much lighting. I was like, oh, my God. There was, like, they were selling Bills gear, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking.
And Sean was like, oh, you know, I need a Bills shirt because I don't want to have one. And he saw one that was like a Tommy Bahama shirt, like a literal Tommy Bahama shirt with like Bills logos on. He's like, now, see, I'd wear that because it's like not super obvious that it's a Bills shirt until you really look at it. $200.
$200.
And then we were like, oh, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
I enjoy the Bills. I don't enjoy them that much, though.
$200 with a Bills merchandise just for a shirt.
I don't think I've ever spent $200 total on Bills merchandise in my life.
No, why would you?
And that includes Bills tickets.
Well, it's the Bills, which we actually got. We went to a Bills party. We got to see them win, actually slaughter Miami. Yeah. Not win. They slaughtered Miami.
Yeah, that was a pretty a pretty hardcore game.
35-0 Bills. So, you know, that was fun.
Yeah.
I met dogs.
You did meet dogs. It's always nice to meet dogs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that was our Buffalo trip. And, you know, we'll see. Who knows when we'll get back there next. But, you know, it was nice while it lasted.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's all I really wanted to talk about, unless there's anything else that was pressing.
Oh, not that I can think of.
Like, as far as movies or trailers or anything that's coming out.
I mean, being in Buffalo, I really wasn't paying attention, so.
Yeah, neither was I.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't even tell you who won the Emmys.
Oh, I don't know. I think Michaela Cole won, which was really deserved for I May Destroy You.
Oh, did she win that?
She did, which she deserved. I think Kate Winslet won for Mare of East Town or whatever.
Yeah, we watched some of those episodes. Those are
I'm sure Ted Lasso won something.
Ted Lasso.
That's about all I can tell you.
Well, there you go. There's your Emmy recap.
Yep.
So let's take a quick break. We'll come back with our book for this week.
In 1974, four men literally changed the face of rock and roll forever.
Gene Simmons, Peter Criss, Ace Frehley, and Paul Stanley wanted to become the band they never got to see.
Over the next 40 plus years, the music, the makeup, the merchandise, and the loyal fan base have propelled Kiss to one of rock and roll's elite groups.
With Kiss heading down their end of the road tour, we thought we would start our journey.
Turn it up to 10 because we love it loud.
Right Between the Eyes is a podcast all about our favorite band, Kiss.
We will be covering all eras of Kiss with the various albums, studio, live, and compilations, plus album mashups and more.
We will also cover solo and band projects from all members, past and present, while also looking at the various bands that have opened for Kiss as well.
Not to mention all of the fun items in the Kiss catalog. TV appearances, long-form videos, merchandise, comic books. Come on, the list goes on and on.
Coming in late May, early June 2021 to a podcast platform near you.
Follow us on Twitter at RBTE Podcast.
Loud. I want to hear it loud. Right Between the Eyes.
I want to hear it loud. Right Between the Eyes. Loud. I want to hear it loud. Turn it out.
All right, we're back here in Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is Exiles, number 65 from August 2005. And this is something I picked up at Second and Charles. I've seen this book. Like, I feel like this is one of these series, like a Marvel series from like the 2000s that I would see it a lot in, like, just see it a lot in bins. You know, because you see, I mean, there's obviously a lot of stuff from the 2000s that are in bins now nowadays.
Yes,
because now that to a lot of kids or a lot of teenagers looking back at comics now are looking at those books.
Yeah, of course.
As we looked at the books from like the early 80s
and the 90s, yeah,
and the 90s, you know, whatever. So, you know, the time is all shifted. So,
again,
yes.
Should be a law.
Should be a law.
Anyway.
So, and I was just like, you know, maybe we'll give this a shot because I don't know really anything about this team.
I still don't know anything about this team.
Yeah, I don't really either. What I've been able to glean from just some my auxiliary research.
Oh, you did research?
Well, I looked at Wikipedia literally while we were talking just a couple minutes ago.
Cool. Yeah.
And
well, that's more than I did. So, you know, good job.
Yeah. Well, I know last time I was saying I should take notes.
Yeah. How'd that go?
Not very good.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah, so this is a Judd Winnick joint.
Oh, that like explains.
It was started by Judd Winnick, at least. Like, I don't think he did this. He's this far into the thing, but
yeah. What's he doing these days?
I don't know.
He fucked that Catwoman run up when he did New 52 or whatever.
I thought that was Anne DeSanti.
She took over after him, but there was plenty of him involved.
Okay,
there at the beginning.
So the Exiles are a group of characters from different universes or realities which have been removed from time and space in order to correct problems, often called hiccups, in various alternate worlds and divergent timelines in the Marvel multiverse.
Oh, see, more of that Marvel multiverse.
So I guess you can consider them to be...
like time cops?
Time cops, or like a temporal of defenders. Because, like, you know, so I don't think it's the... these characters are all the same or whatever, because it's kind of like a revolving team.
Yeah, and they're all from, like, different dimensions.
Yeah, different dimensions. Team. So, which actually makes sense, because, you know, you look at... first of all,
Space Force, is that what this is?
Space Force, this yes.
Isn't like Space Force?
These guys are gonna be Space Force. We're gonna put them in the bubble, and they're gonna go into time.
It's just their time cops. It's very funny. Okay, sorry. Continue.
I watched the movie Time Cop is now in the National Registry.
Honestly, I could have that would have happened.
Yeah, probably.
I watched Time Cop, and now I want Time Cop. Okay.
I want Time Cop. Thank you.
Bring me Time Cop.
Thank you, President.
Make it real.
Trump, you.
Bring me real Time Cop.
But.
You're like, sir, time travel. Bring me Time Cop. Okay.
Bring me Time Cop. Time Cop.
Anyway, sorry, continue.
So, yeah, that's basically what we're dealing with here. Mm-hmm. And it says here, this series is notable for a number of characters who stay dead, in contrast to the frequent resurrections that occur in Marvel and DC continuities. So I guess a lot of these characters, if they die, they die.
Good for them.
But it actually does...
the sweet embrace of death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're done, you're done.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Some guys, you know, some guys just don't come back.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes dead is better. Sorry.
That was I enjoyed your delivery on that.
Did you?
So the Exiles, though, I was kind of wondering, because we read Barbie last week.
Barbie the murderer. Yeah,
Barbie the murderer. Yes, go back and listen to last week's episode for our immense dissertation on why Barbie is in a murder cult.
And a bad one.
Oh, she is pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if these guys are part of the, or we may at some point travel to the Barbie universe.
Well, Barbie timeline. Is part of Marvel. That is correct.
She was part of Marvel, so she does have a timeline.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to go over there and stop the serial murder spree that Barbie and Ken have been on.
Yeah, they show up and they're like,
someone's been murdering all of these women. Throwing them off boats.
A lot of nautical murders.
So many nautical murders, and they have to stop Barbie because she's on like a 17 person killing spree.
And for some reason, like, Skipper joins the team because she could talk to swans.
Oh, absolutely, because the swans can tell you where Barbie's going to be next, because they can like go in the water.
Yeah.
Kind of like, what's her name? It's Namor's girl. What's her name?
Namorita?
No, they call her something else here. Oh, Namora.
Namora.
And I was just like, were they just like, oh, we have a Gamora, now we just need a Namora. Like, I was like, why is her name Namora? Anyway, sorry.
I don't know. Hey, it would be great if Namor had a girlfriend.
Hey, you know what's really hard? Thinking up names for ladies. Let's just...
Namora.
We got Gamora. Now we got Namora. No one will notice. I don't know who came first. I don't think it actually matters. Because it doesn't matter. I don't think that Namora has any lines in this, but she definitely has tits.
Okay. So
no lines, just tits.
On the cover here, and this bothers me because I feel like I don't know who this one guy is. I don't know who
I don't know who any of those people are. So.
I'm trying to figure out. It's It's difficult because I'm trying to.
Well,
like,
we do get a previously on, or like previous, like in the last comic, but basically it's a previously on. It's a recap of what happened. So it just kind of tells you what happened and how people are getting murdered on the team and blah, 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 blah.
Well,
and
okay,
now everybody's fighting.
Well, I wanted to talk about the cover because I'm trying to figure out who this one, this is the Soul Patch guy is on the cover.
Let me see.
This blonde guy. Is this Mimic?
Let me see. I thought Mimic was a silver guy, but maybe not.
I don't know. Because, like, I'm looking at the cover and I'm just.
I have no idea who Soul Patch is. He dead?
I know
he's one of the people who died?
I don't know. He's in the book.
Somebody got. Is he?
Well, maybe we should talk through the book.
All right.
I should have took notes.
Yeah.
It would be helpful. But on the cover, we just basically have a picture of
the team.
Of the team at the moment. We have Blink. I know who Blink is.
Mm-hmm.
Soul Patch Man.
Yep.
Morph. And Sabretooth.
Soul Patch Man is going to go see Stain tonight.
Yes, he's like, hey, man, I got tickets to Stain. I got tickets to Seven Dust, dude.
Oh, absolutely.
I got to go place for 10 Years Gone. Or 10 Years Later, whatever the fuck that band's name is. Or Stuck Mojo, man. I'm auditioning for Stuck Mojo. I'm trying to go through all Clint Lowry's bands for all you metalheads out there.
Someone's laughing very hard.
Somebody
I'm
is
also
like,
very excited that anybody mentioned Stuck Mojo.
Stuck Mojo was the shit. Stuck Mojo was the jams back in the 90s.
Jams.
Late 90s. But it makes sense with this different realities type of thing.
Yeah.
Because we have Sabretooth, Morph, and Blink, and they're all from the Age of Apocalypse timeline, and this other goof, I don't know where he's from. But they're standing in the back here. Sabretooth, gigantically huge.
Yes. Like, overly huge.
Overly huge. And in front of them are two, not just one, but two versions of Hyperion.
Yes.
One's wearing its glasses and one's not wearing glasses. So yeah. There you go.
There's so, like three Hyperions in this book?
Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah, so they find this observatory where there's this observatory that they can look at all the timelines and the time broker, they're looking for this person called the time broker. It's not a person at all, but an illusion that aliens project to communicate with the exiles and their more ruthless sister team, Weapon X.
Oh, yes.
So something happens where Hyperion, the alien conqueror of an incalculable power, has returned from the dead and threatens every facet of the multiverse. And he kills a bunch of dudes. And, you know, he's just. He apparently killed Namor at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And we start off here. And yeah, so I guess there's three. There's the really crazy one. The really crazy
Hyperion.
And there's two other Hyperions.
From different universes. And they're all fighting.
One Hyperion is bald. That's why you know that he's the bad Hyperion.
Yes. He does not have a goatee. Which is usually how you can tell who the bad guy is.
That's right. Yeah, that's how you can usually tell who the heels are.
Exactly. That's how you tell who the evil twin is. That's how you can tell somebody's going bad. They grow a goatee.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think of Beak here?
I think Beak looks like a Skeksis.
He does.
From the Dark Crystal.
Yes, he does.
And that's exactly who I was like, oh my God, a Skeksis.
He's like a flesh Skeksis.
And they're like, oh, his name's Beak. And I was like, Skeksis is a better name. So I just call him the Skeksis.
Well, so I'm assuming Morph is this silver guy.
That's who I thought that was. I don't know.
So something happened where, that's Mimic. Excuse me.
Oh, Mimic is that? That's why. So Mimic is the silver guy.
Yeah, that's Mimic is the silver guy, and he's pretty injured. And it's basically up to Beak and Blink to...
But apparently, like, Beak is the key here.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why. It's just, they're like, well, they know that you're the one. Because there's, like, insectoids, which is basically, like, stick insects wearing life jackets.
Mm, yes.
And they are kind of controlling everything. I'm not sure what their role is here.
Yeah.
Because we came in basically at like the end of the story.
Yeah, we come at the end of the story. We find out that Nemora has been boiled.
Yeah, because wherever they are has like doors. And there's like, you go through it, you end up in the desert. And then you go through another door and then it's just the water. So Nemora is like fighting somebody. I don't remember who. In the water, through the water door. While the Hyperions are in the desert.
Hyperions are in the... No, well, Nemora was fighting somebody, but she shows up and now she's got, like... She's decaying.
Yeah, because
like
she got boiled.
She got boiled, so... But her giant breasts are still
Yeah, don't worry about intact. Them. They're fine.
We didn't boil them breasts.
Them titties are fine.
So... But, yeah, because she's, like... I think she's just floating.
I thought she was, too, but, like... I don't know. So Beak is like, oh, can you blink? Can you get her here? And then the Hyperions come flying in and like knock everybody into the water.
Yeah. And yeah. They bust up this water and these insects with life jackets.
That's what they look like. They're wearing life jackets.
No, I'm looking at them here and I'm like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
That's a very accurate description.
And so they're like yelling at Beak and they're like, Beak, you know what? You brought them here. You made this worse. Now they're going to destroy like this entire like setup we have. You know, they're going to knock over my stereo. They're going to, you know, mess up my cabinets.
Yeah, they're fucking everything up, man.
Fucking everything up. And then and Beak, rightfully so, it's like, dude, you put me in charge. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Right? I'm a Skeksi.
Oh, I'm a Skeksi? I have hollow bones?
Yeah, always a problem with those hollow bones.
I can't swim and I'm out in the ocean. What do you want from me?
Yeah. And then somehow, I don't know how we get into the desert with Blink.
Yeah. They talk some science mumbo jumbo here, or some time science mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, none of it matters.
None of it matters. And so they're basic because they're like, yeah, if we could look ahead into the future, but if we knew this solution, we wouldn't have considered it. So, you know, so they're kind of they're really really useless, these aliens.
With the stick bugs?
The stick bugs.
Yeah. I mean, they got to wear a life jacket on land.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, maybe just so they don't, you know, get that. Maybe it helps protect them. Maybe it's a nice little exoskeleton.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Hyperions are fighting and Mimic jumps in. And help kind of distracts one of the distracts the bald one. Basically, we'll call him Michael Chiklis Hyperion.
Yeah.
And
putting out an album.
He's putting out a dad rock.
Oh yeah,
dad rock album. The Titans of Dad Rock.
Jesus.
You got David Duchovny.
I was going to say it's just a picture of David Duchovny and Michael Chiklis like giving each other a high five.
Steven Seagal by being there. I mean, who else?
David Duchovny's writing books too.
David Duchovny's a multifaceted.
Is he?
He's a triple threat.
Oh, is he?
As we would say in the business.
Is he?
He writes.
Or is he? Is the only reason he has a book deal is because his name is David Duchovny?
Well, I mean, yeah, but he's still a threat. He writes. He sings.
Yeah.
He acts.
Mm.
But can he dance?
There was that one episode of The X-Files in which he kind of swayed to Honky Tonk Badonkadonk.
Really? X-Files was still on when that song came out?
That was a revival.
Oh.
And it was quite possibly one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Oh, okay.
Because he was literally like just redoing that video. And he had like those rings that spell words. And I can't even remember what it said. It said like something stupid. And he was just sitting there like dancing to Honky Tonk Badonkadonk, and I don't even know how we got there.
That doesn't make sense.
No, you know what? And I watched it and I still like to this day I'm just like I don't know why any of that happened.
I don't think a lot of people understand why the revival
terrible.
Happened.
It was terrible.
It seemed like I was. I'm never an X-Files person. But
no, it was terrible.
I know you were watching
it,
and
yes,
people
I
were
was.
Excited. I don't know. I don't know. Were you? I assume you're cautiously optimistic headed into it, but I know people were excited.
I was cautiously optimistic because, of course, I want these characters back on my screen. However, after the first episode, I wanted to burn the TV down. Because it was literally like, what if Reddit wrote an X-Files episode? And because the culture has shifted so much from what it was when this show premiered, the conspiracy theory stuff that ran through the X-Files all of the time is no longer fun to watch on TV because we have it in real life.
Yeah.
And it's ruining everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're just like, oh, this isn't cool anymore. This is upsetting and too close to reality for what the X-Files should be, because the X-Files is always a sci-fi TV show.
Yeah. It should be sci-fi as fuck, not reality.
Oh, reality. Because now what do we have? We have conspiracies that lead to people trying to literally breach the Capitol. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't as fun anymore. There was a great Monster of the Week episode, which was great. There were like one or two that were good, but the rest of it was just such trash. And then like Chris Carter just coming out and just being even shittier to Scully's character and like just making everything worse.
Mm.
It was terrible. I hated it.
So
anyway.
Yeah, anyway. So, well, thank you for that.
Hey, no problem. Gave you a chance to catch up on that book.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a chance to catch up on the book that
I
read.
Hey, you want me to talk about something? You let me know.
That I read last week. So, this is actually where something actually kind of happens where I think it's kind of neat where Blink, you know, she has like, you know, like time, you know, just, or not time, like, you know, she could displace people or whatever. Or
and
she can
stuff.
And stuff. And so in order to...
Well, she's in the desert.
Well, no. What she figures out is she's like, hey, you know, so we don't want them bashing up this area.
Yeah.
So let's find a way to send them over to like a desert.
Yeah.
Where apparently Sabretooth and Morph are.
Yeah.
And so they end up back in this desert, and the bad Hyperion, Michael Chiklis, is like, he's like, you know, hey, this is
my bad Hyperion.
I'm bad Hyperion.
Fear me.
You could have gotten the jump on me. You could have like teleported. Yeah, I was just trying to think of the word teleport.
Yeah,
my head off my shoulders, but you didn't. And now we're in the desert, and I can do like a sandstorm or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts vibrating. And she throws one of her like blink deals over at him, and I think it's something where she throws like one over to one spot and one over to another.
Yeah, like those energy things.
Yeah, and she throws one over. Apparently, she's a very popular character.
Okay,
I guess, but it's something like past my time.
Sure,
or you know, like kind of in a time period where I'm not familiar with her. So she does this, and she transports a bunch of sand into Michael Chiklis.
Oh, this was my favorite part of the book.
Yeah.
This was great. And also this drawing is great because he just gets fat.
He gets really fat and veiny.
And just full of sand. And it's just, and she's like, yeah, the worst thing about sand is it gets everywhere, which is kind of like one of those, you know, the worst thing or... You know what happens to a toad when it gets struck by lightning? It's the same thing that happens to everything else.
Just watch that. Just watch the end of that the other day.
We watched the end of that the other day. But it's basically that kind of line, but it's so funny. It's great.
Well, she gets all the sand in him.
It's really cool.
And, you know, his outfit, like the top of his, you know, the top portion of his outfit, like just gets shredded.
Yeah.
But also,
he got all sandy.
He gets all sandy, but also somehow it also transfers into his wrist, into like his arms, and it like breaks apart his bands on his arms.
Yeah, it's really gross.
So it's pretty, some body horror shit going on right there.
It's nice. I like it.
So she transports all this sand into him, and, you know, the, there's some stuff going on with, back at this, what's it called? It's like the pan, it's called like the pan, the panopititrion.
Sure, whatever.
The pan pizza.
The place with the doors?
The place with the doors.
Yep.
So something's going on
there.
It's
a hallway?
Yeah. And these dudes start fighting again. They're apparently, is it Jarvis?
Oh, is it Jarvis?
It looks like Jarvis, but it's not.
Oh, it's not. It's her boyfriend. And he calls her Clarice Blink.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that guy, that is the definition of punching above your weight.
I don't know if it's really her boyfriend. I think
somebody calls it her boyfriend. He's like, oh, your boyfriend comes to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
I think he's being facetious.
Is it her boyfriend?
I don't think it's her boyfriend.
I was going to say that dude is really punching above his weight because he's just like a dorky dude.
With the
he looks like Jarvis.
Jarvis. And
he's
know.
Like, hey, Clarice, because apparently she's from Silence of the Lamb universe.
Oh, yes.
Which would be a shitty universe to live in.
Oh, man. We imagine this team showed up at the Clarice universe. They have to
eat fava beans. Eat fava beans. Nice Chianti.
She just fills Hyperion up with fava beans.
Oh, gross. That'd be sweet.
I never had a fava bean.
I don't think I've had a fava bean.
I also didn't know what a Chianti was.
Oh, it's a wine.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know what a Chianti was when I was a kid, though. You know,
that all
sounded like jumbo to me, you know, when I heard that when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's fine. You're not Italian. It's cool.
Yeah, excuse me.
You didn't know.
But yeah, this guy who calls her Clarice, who's like some butler, his name is Cal or something like that. He's like, he has some sort of powers. I don't know. And they don't want to kill the sand-filled Hyperion. So they
too much of a mess.
Too much of a mess. They don't want sand everywhere. They don't, you know, they want to
be terrible if sand got everywhere in this desert.
Yeah, or whatever. Or they don't want to use them. They just don't want to use them as a sandbag. You know, they could use them as a sandbag. You know,
they could. They could. I mean, you never know when a
plug up a levee or something.
I was gonna
like
say
that.
You never know when a flood is gonna come.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
but
keep them in the garage.
They don't want to do anything like that, so they decide to
send him back to his universe.
His universe,
which apparently this Hyperion was such a scumbag that he killed all the superheroes in his universe, and his universe, everybody who lived there was like, you know what? We can't take this Hyperion stuff. So in order to stop him, we're going to nuke the fuck out of everything.
Yeah.
So they ended up killing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the only being left alive on this planet.
Yeah. And so they transport him back to this planet. And he is very upset.
Yeah, well, he doesn't want to be there because he's all alone.
Yeah.
And that really sucks. But at the same time, I'd be like, oh, man, what universe would do that? And I'm like, oh, we are literally living in a universe that's destroying the only planet we have. So it's, oh, yeah, it's just that one. It's just our universe. We would totally nuke a Hyperion and kill ourselves.
Yeah, I could see us doing that.
Yeah, we're dumb. So he's there, and then I guess that's the end.
Yeah, we're at the end where they just go back to the pan pizza place with the doors, and
they're like, "I would like a personal pan pizza for reading this book, please."
I read.
Here's my book at coupon.
Where the red fern grows, or whatever the fuck that book.
Is it? Yeah, where the red fern grows.
Oh, I think I got it right. I was thinking something about two ferns, but maybe
you were thinking between two ferns is the Zach Galifianakis thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, where the red fern grows is that story about the kid who has to kill his dog.
Oh, is that what that's about?
The dog eventually dies, but there's a lot of hunting involved.
Ugh.
And then he has to kill the dog because I think the dog gets scratched by a bat.
Oh, no. Oh, so it was kind of like Cujo, but like...
Yeah, except they have to like put him down.
Not terrible.
If I remember correctly, it's been a long time.
I probably read that
book. A lot of talking about, like, red bone, because whatever kind of dog it is like a red bone something or other. I don't know. I always thought that was weird. Again.
So they have to decide where who they could leave this pan pizza place to, and
who should we leave this random Pizza Hut to?
And we
have to still have one in very strange towns. The rest can become Blockbusters.
I have Pizza Plus or Pizza. Pizza Hut's pretty good.
We have a Pizza Hut here, like a legit one, like a brick and mortar Pizza Hut that looks like the ones that did in the
80s. Yeah. We ate still,
it is still standing.
In 2020 or 2019, I believe.
Yeah,
we
like
ate
2019,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. So they're like, we need somebody that can needs to run this. We don't trust any of you guys, but the only person we trust is Beak. So, you know, because you're the one that somehow brought us over here to fight this. Because
he's
Chiklis.
The key or whatever.
Yeah.
Something. So we're not sure how, but he is.
And so they, they're like, all right, we leave you, we leave this, to your jurisdiction.
Your beakness.
And Beak's like, cool, thanks. And they leave. And then he's like, all right, fuck, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Because.
Fuck it.
I only said I'd do it till they get to leave. But no offense, but given the choice between risking my life every week or spending my days staring at my girlfriend's big, beautiful butt.
Oh, all right, Beak.
He's like, I want that ass.
I mean. Is that all he does with his time? He's just like, you know what? Look at that ass. Just staring at it.
He's like, you look at my hollow bones.
No, she doesn't have hollow bones.
I got hollow bones. You got
a big
ass.
Oh, he doesn't have a hollow bone.
Yeah. No,
it ain't hollow.
That one bone ain't hollow.
Her butt's not hollow, apparently. Big, beautiful butt.
He likes big butts.
He cannot lie.
Actually, if this was a movie, Sir Mix-a-Lot would start playing at the end of that.
You're right.
Yeah, that would be pretty dope.
Yeah,
but so that's Exiles.
Again, I guess,
judge review of the comic. I guess.
Yeah, it existed.
That's Exiles number 65 from August 2005.
This is probably one of the more terrible ones we've read in a long time.
I don't know if it's terrible. If it's just
it's terrible. It's stupid. I don't know what's happening. People are dumb.
I don't know if it's.
Thank you for coming to my TED talk about this comic.
I don't know if it's terrible. I just
terrible.
I think it's just kind of clunky. Yeah, I'm not really. It doesn't make me very interested to keep reading because I don't.
I
really
mean, I kind of want to read about Beak and his love of the ass, but
yeah,
I don't really care about this book.
They did that. Well, that was a miniseries called Beak and the Butt.
Ooh. Actually, it sounds like a morning show.
Actually,
based out of like Michigan.
Actually, that would be
tune in for the Beak of the Butt.
Beak of the Butt.
Flush.
Flush. Aruga.
Maybe we should change the name of this podcast to the Beak in the Butt.
Which one am I?
I'm gonna say because your nose is bigger, you're the beak.
Oh, that's shit.
And because I obviously have an ass, we're gonna call me the Butt.
Man, that would probably give us some more bookings. if we went out there, it's like, yo, you want to book the Beak of the Butt?
We can get a soundboard.
It's like, what do? They talk about comics.
Yeah, but we can get a soundboard.
And sometimes you play a soundboard and there's fart sounds on it.
Absolutely. It'd just be like, oh no, why'd Superman do that? You're listening to the Beak of the Butt.
Here goes Batman. Bow, 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 bow. Oh, look, it's Barbie. What is she doing?
Murdering? Boy,
psycho theme.
Yeah, we'll just make mother-in-law jokes and stuff now as the Beak in the Butt.
Yeah.
Be like, what's Batman running from? Probably his mother-in-law.
You want to join? You want to be on Beak of the Butt? Come on down. we're here broadcasting live from some comic book store that doesn't know we're here. Broadcasting
actually,
live.
That would be very funny. What if we just went into some comic book store, like went into the back corner, put ourselves on Instagram Live and just did a show and they didn't even know we were there.
Come on down. We'll give you free comics for holding in your own farts. How long could you hold in a fart? Let's find out.
If you're our 69th customer, you're going to get a free comic. You're going to have to steal it from this comic book store, though, because they don't know we're giving
we
stuff
away. We don't
have
the comics. They're all around us, but you could have one.
We're not going to stop you.
They're not going to stop you. You want a free comic? Come on down. Gobble Gable.
Actually, I
think... Speak of the butt.
You know, we really probably could get away with doing an entire Instagram live show from Mile High because nobody would know we were there because it's so big.
You would just hide out.
We would just go hide
just hide
in
out
the
one
corner.
Of those tables, just be sitting there.
Absolutely. We could just get a little stand and we could just do like a whole fucking show live streamed from Mile High Comics and no one would say a fucking word because they wouldn't even realize we were there. We go hide in the back by those trades nobody looks at.
Yeah, that's true. Excuse me. I was trying to purchase a Superman family showcase.
Yeah, I'm the only one who looks at that shit. No one's going back there.
There's a couple back there.
We're not sure what they're doing.
With their phones and some contraptions that look like microphones, but I don't know what it is.
They're calling themselves the Beak and the Butt. I think it's pretty easy to tell who's who.
And I think... The butt, I think it's instead of T-H-E, I think it's D-A.
Oh, it's definitely D-A.
The butt. They made sure I knew that.
Spell my name correctly.
I think the beak is the one with the nose.
Is it the beak?
No, I think I get the class. I'm the classier.
Oh, how are you the classier one?
Because you're the butt.
Fair.
Excuse me, I'm the classier one. I'm the butt.
Excuse me, it's the beak, the classy way to spell the.
the original English, proper English way.
Proper spelling of the.
Of the. Oh, man.
Do you think we could, like, if we get famous enough for being the beak and the butt here, do you think we could, like, get reservations at, like, Buffalo Wild Wings just by dropping our names?
They might name a menu item after us.
Ooh. Come eat the butt.
No, it was the beak of the butt. It's like a, you know, it's like a chicken sandwich and also a rump roast.
Oh man, like a roast beef sandwich?
Yeah, it's like you get them both at the same because you want the beak of the butt.
God.
The B dubs.
Yep. This is one of the dumbest things we've
done. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think about how we can be more dumb, and
I don't think we can be
I think we've already crossed that threshold.
That's
so I think
it.
We should just end the show.
We should end the show.
Forever.
Forever. There's no more show.
No more show. We've reached peak dumb.
Yeah, this is it. Congrats to us.
This is what happens when I pick a book that doesn't have anything in it that I'm just like, oh, maybe we should try this out. You know, yeah. Maybe there might be something that might be interesting in this book. And it's like, no, we're just talking about our stupid radio names.
Our new morning show. Mm-hmm.
So.
Do you need me to vampire look for something?
Oh, yes, I do, actually.
Oh, great. I was hoping. So today, the day this drops, September 23rd, it is the premiere of Law & Order SVU. And Law & Order OC, Organized Crime. I don't know how I'm going to survive the next 24 hours. I may not survive them. I just want you to know there's going to be a lot going on. There's going to be, hopefully, lots of angst that one day become bangst, which is banging plus angst is bangst. I'm really hoping.
Bangst?
Bangst, yeah. It's angst, but also banging, and you put them together and it's bangst. So it's like when you're really, really angsty and there's a lot of that like, but we love each other, but we can't be together, but our feelings, and then you fuck. It's the best. So I'm hoping we're going to get some of that one of these days. Obviously not in the season premiere. Hopefully by the end of the season. Fingers crossed for bangst. Stabler's got a beard. Chris Maloney keeps unbuttoning his shirt. It keeps getting lower and lower every single time. But I feel like they're adding more buttons, so he's just never done unbuttoning it. It's just every shot you see of him, it's like more open. And you're just like, but how do you have any more buttons left? And you're still wearing a shirt.
How many buttons are on that shirt? 86.
I really think they are putting extra buttons on there so he can just keep undoing them. I'm just like, every millimeter, just keep showing millimeters of that chest. It's so good. I live there now. I live in that deep V of his shirt. There's just little me there.
I am the butt.
I am the butt. Hi, Mr. Maloney. I'm the butt. How would you want to talk of my show?
Yeah, I think Mr. Maloney would actually appreciate the candor on this podcast.
I don't know about
you. Might actually be listening. I don't know.
I'm certain he's got nothing else to do but listen to the beat, the beak in the butt.
He exercises. He might have something. He needs to kill time doing something.
I mean, who doesn't? Who does, when you're you know, on that? I'm assuming he just listens to his trainer.
when he's exercising, like, he doesn't. Well, no, you don't think he does cardio by, like, just by himself?
Oh, I don't know. I know he's got a trainer. I don't know. His trainer makes him, like, lift things.
That's true.
I don't know how any of that works.
Sorry, trainer. I can't listen to you right now. I'm listening to the beak in the butt.
Toilet flush, door slammed, car running something over.
Deer noise for some reason. I don't know. Whatever deer noise makes.
Just like an elk, like bugling, like. It is running season. That's kind of what they sound like. This is the best show I've ever heard.
Mike, for some reason, Stephen King doing armpit farts for some reason.
What does he just go, hi, I'm Stephen. Is it like Jackass where he's like, hi, I'm Stephen King, and this is the armpit fart. fart.
Yep.
Neat.
That's how you do the audio version of Jackass. That's the audiobook version of Jackass.
Hi, I'm Norman Lear, and this is me falling downstairs.
this is me shooting wasabi up my nose. Hello, this is James Joyce, and this is the haggis snort.
Ew.
I'm assuming, is he Scottish?
I thought it was Irish, but sure.
I don't know. He's trying it out.
He's going to try out the haggis snort? What is the haggis snort?
You snort haggis?
Is it dried up haggis? You cook it, you dry it, you chop it up into a fine line, and then you snort it like you're doing coke?
Yeah.
Or are we trying to do like raw haggis, like trying to shove it up your nose?
This is the haggis floss.
Ew. You know.
Yeah. Guys, this show, this is the only kind of humor you get on the beak and
this,
the butt.
This really is the last episode we're ever doing.
Yeah, I know. I think we should end it. I don't know. But we might not do another episode.
We'll never top this.
We'll never top this dumbness.
All right.
Maybe we will. I don't know. Actually, you know what? We will top this.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, we will top this. So thanks for listening, folks. Oh, should we give our social media? It doesn't even matter.
Just go ahead. You have to do the ending.
Well, I was going to say, should we bother saying I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield. On Twitter and Instagram, you can find the show on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever, and email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And please, that's right. And please find us on...
It's the only reason I'm talking about Law and Order. I mean, do you want me to continue to talk about Chris Maloney's V-necks?
No.
Like his open.
No.
With his gorgeous chest.
I'm done.
Okay, sorry.
Find us on Bullhorn.
That's definitely somewhere that would want the beak in the butt.
Find us on Bullhorn, guys. If you're on Bullhorn, hello. And also check me out on YouTube. I have to post another video, but I open up action figures here, so. Hooray. So once again, folks, thanks for listening, and talk to you again next time.
Bye. Flush.